Hey there, friends. Welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and this is our 81st day. Thanks to my good friend Terry. Reminded me where we were just earlier today. 81 days in. That's amazing. God has blessed this journey so far. And as we're on day 81, we're in Matthew chapter 13 today. And in Matthew chapter 13, we see a bit of a shift as Jesus starts to use parables and teaching using parables. So grab your Bible if you can and listen closely if you will. Let's read God's Word together. All right. Matthew 13 is a continuation of Matthew 12. We saw in Matthew 12 that Jesus performed several miracles, and he taught about the Sabbath, and he emphasized the spirit of God's law over this strict letter of religious rules and compliance. He also faced this opposition from the Pharisees that begins to increase more and more and are driving towards their seeking after murdering him. They question his intentions, his actions. But Jesus responded with parables and teaching that revealed the true nature of his mission. And they really highlight the importance of responding to God's call. Truly responding to God's call with a good, genuine heart doing so. And so today that lends us to Matthew 13. As we see these parables he's about to teach from, know that a parable, and it's not something that is Christianese and hard to understand in this great theological concept. A parable is just a story that's being told to teach a lesson, to illustrate a moral, right? We tell stories in order to give a different perspective and understanding on the same moral story or lesson. And that's, Jesus does this as well as anyone ever has, obviously. And we've been studying these, but it helps us to easily relate it to real life. And these parables do that very well, especially considering the context of when he told it. See, this chapter is rich with these stories. And these stories are designed to make us think, to really think deep about the kingdom of heaven. And so as we begin to read into chapter 13, know that Jesus is speaking to a large crowd by the Sea of Galilee, and he starts to share these parables, and he uses these parables to teach truths. And the first parable that we're going to hear is our first big look for is the parable of the sower. The parable of the story of the sower. And he gives these different types of soils. And notice that each type of soil represents a different type of response that we have to God's word. People will respond differently when the gospel truth is shared to them. What is important for us when we hear this, I want you to think about what soil you are. The second big look for is the explanation of the purpose of parables. And that's shared in this chapter. See, parables not only tell a story, but they reveal mysteries of the kingdom to those who are truly open to hearing these. But at the same time, they conceal these truths from those that are unwilling to understand or accept them. See, Jesus explains that his use of parables fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah. Once again, prophecy fulfilled through Jesus. And this highlights even further that Jesus is Messiah. The final look for is another parable, and the parable of the weeds. Weeds among the wheat. This parable is going to push us to understand that good and evil will exist together until the end of time, the end of this age. But the harvest symbolizes the end times when good and evil will be separated. See, God's control and his plan for ultimate judgment. We'll see that in the parable of the nets as well. And so, that's what we're looking for today as we see these parables that Jesus uses to teach. So if you would, turn with me if you can to Matthew chapter 13. If not, listen closely as we read God's word together. Here we go. We'll jump straight into Matthew chapter 13. And this is a bit more lengthy. We're at 58 verses in this one, but multiple different stories throughout. So listen close as we read Matthew 13, starting in verse 1 now. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down. And while the whole crowd stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables, saying, "Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. While other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched since it had no root. It withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it out. Still other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen." And now we go into verse 10. Why Jesus used parables. Then the disciples came up and asked him, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" He answered, "Because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That is why I speak to them in parables, because looking they do not see, and hearing they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn back, and I would heal them.'" Jesus continues, "Blessed are your eyes, because they do see, and your ears, because they do hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see the things you see, but didn't see them, to hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them." Verse 18. So, listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown on the rocky ground? Well, this is the one who hears the word immediately and receives it with joy, but he has no root and is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Now, the one sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on the good ground, this is the one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yield some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. Verse 24, Jesus shares the parable of the wheat and weeds. Verse 24, he presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came, sowed weeds among the wheat, and left. When the plants sprouted and produced again, then the weeds also appeared. The landowner's servant came to him and said, "Master, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where did these weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he told them. "So, do you want us to go and pull them up?" the servants asked him. "No," he said. "When you pull up the weeds, you might also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At harvest time, I'll tell the reapers to gather the weeds first and tie them in bundles to burn them. But collect the wheat in my barn." Verse 31. He then presented another parable to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when grown, it's taller than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the sky may come and nest in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and mixed into 50 pounds of flour until all of it was also leavened." Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables, and he did not tell them anything without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. "I will open my mouth in parables. I will declare things kept secret from the foundation of the world." Verse 36. Then he left the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He replied, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed, these are children of the kingdom. Well, the weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather from his kingdom all who cause sin and those guilty of lawlessness. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Let anyone who has ears listen." Verse 44. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and he reburied. Then in his joy he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a large net thrown into the sea. It collected every kind of fish, and when it was full, they dragged it ashore, sat down, and gathered the good fish into containers, but threw out the worthless ones. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out, separate evil people from the righteous, and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Verse 51. "Have you understood these things?" They answered him, "Yes." "Therefore," he said to them, "every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom treasures, new and old." When Jesus had finished these parables, he left there. He went to his hometown and began to teach them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, aren't they all with us? So where does he get all these things?" And they were offended by him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and his household." and he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And that is Matthew 13. Let's take a moment now to reflect on what we just read and find some application for our lives. Okay. Quite a lot there, right? Right off the bat, he jumps into the parable of the sower and gives a pretty powerful parable. And that parable lays out the importance of a receptive heart. And that's our first takeaway today. You know, a receptive heart is that good soil that God allows, or that allows God's word to take root, deep root, to flourish, right? To grow the way that it should. Are our hearts receptive, or are they like that rocky soil thrown amongst the weeds, the thorns? What kind of heart do we have that God's word is tossed onto, right? That's important. Our heart needs to be open and free from the weeds of distraction and the hardness of our ego, of our pride. If we can soften our hearts so that the word of God can take root, then we have that perfect soil that Jesus is talking about. And so what we can do is to pray for an understanding, pray for a willingness that we can be transformed by what we read in God's scriptures. When we hear his word, when we read his word, we do that with a receptive heart, letting those barriers be pushed away, and to truly hear the word of God as he intends and not how we want to translate it and use it for our own purpose. The second big takeaway is that we should seek the kingdom with everything we have. Jesus shared the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl that teaches us about the kingdom of heaven. But it should teach us that the kingdom of heaven is worth everything we have and more. Everything we have, we should be willing to give up for that kingdom. This means that we have to prioritize our spiritual life and our relationship with God above all of our other goals and pursuits that we have in life. Jesus said, if you have ears, please hear this. And that's what I'm saying now. We have to hear this. We need to know. We know what God is saying. We know what we need to do, but we avoid it, we block it out, and we don't accept it and embrace it, whatever that is that hinders us, right? We need to pray that God helps us get that out of the way so that we can prioritize our spiritual life and relationship with him above all else. Do not let fear of man get in the way of our fear of God. What can we surrender in our lives to gain more of his kingdom? That's a pretty powerful parable. It's in our face, isn't it? That's kind of how Jesus is. And our final takeaway is that we better be prepared for that harvest. That harvest season is right around the corner. Jesus shared the parable of the weeds and the net to remind us that an end is going to come, and there will be a separation of good and evil. There will be that separation of the righteous and the unrighteous. What we need to do is to know that that could happen anytime, and we have to live each day with that end in mind. Not to be scared and, whoa, I'm up. No. We should have a heart that looks forward to that, because when we know we have a faith that is unshakable, right? We know that we're going to be in that good that is sorted out. We'll be in the wheat and not the weeds. We should strive to be among those who are gathered into God's barn and not bundled and thrown into the fire. But let me say this as we close. We can be, we can think that and hope that, or we can know that, right? Do we know that? Scripture tells us you will know them by their fruits. What are our fruits this week? I encourage you today to be very self-aware of how your fruits are defining your allegiance, your love, and your heart for the Lord. That'll help us determine whether we're the wheat or the weeds. Oh, Jesus, you do it again. Stepping on our toes and piercing our hearts. I'm grateful for that. I hope you are too. It helps us to grow closer in our walk with Him. At any rate, I hope you guys have the very best day ever. I hope you enjoyed chapter 13. I do. I love it. I love the way it ended. That, you know, right off the bat, I reference that all the time, that a prophet's not without honor except in his own hometown and in his household. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes, most of the time, it is so hard to be bold in our faith and to be genuine. It's more difficult in our homes, isn't it? I encourage you to stand strong and persevere. Guys, have the very best day ever. I'm looking forward to tomorrow already and our next episode. At any rate, may you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And may you strive to be a blessing to everyone around you today. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to the New Testament in a Year podcast, where we simply read the Word of God and we try to unpack it so we can find application in our lives, knowing that there is nothing more powerful than God's Word. You see, Scripture is the only source that teaches us who God is and what God wants of us. My encouragement is that the Word of God will bless you and ultimately bless your friends and family. I'll encourage you to share this podcast with your friends, share it on your social media or by word of mouth. Join in, let's read the Word of God together. And through this, may God be glorified through our reading, listening, application, and understanding of His Word together.